This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Welcome to today's episode of The Share Interview. I'm Vicky Sayers. In today's ever-evolving technical world, we're becoming increasingly reliant on technology of all kinds, both at work and at home. But in doing so, are we opening ourselves up to cyber attacks without even realising it? Research from cybersecurity experts N-Cypher Security has revealed that as more and more things become connected to the internet, things like wireless home sensor networks, smartphones and wearable tech, we're leaving ourselves wide open to cyber attacks. Now that's all because of something called the Internet of Things. And joining me to explain exactly what that is the Vice President of Global Sales from N-Cypher Security, Peter Carlisle. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Vicky. It's a pleasure to be able to talk to you today.
So, Peter, first things first, what is the Internet of Things?
So it's literally what it sounds like, which is a vast proliferation of things that are connecting themselves to the internet. So if we go back to when we first started to have internet connectivity, then it was typically through a computer, which was a fairly sophisticated device where you know who you are, you have a user profile, and you're connecting to the internet using various different protocols, passwords, accounts, and so forth. What we're seeing now is a proliferation of much more simple, single-use devices, which are attaching themselves to the internet because they need to deliver some sort of service or application through the cloud. Examples would be things like the doorbell that you can now control from your smartphone and see who's standing at your front door, or perhaps a security camera that you can plug into to your wireless hub at home and see what's happening with your dogs while you're out at work. And perhaps in a more sophisticated environment, it's robot arms performing microsurgery in hospitals. So all over the world and in all sorts of applications, we're seeing devices, sort of single-use devices, as it were, being built to connect to the internet. And of course, they're accessing data, sometimes personal data, medical data, password, Wi-Fi data. And to be honest, a lot of these devices have been built to perform a task, and security perhaps wasn't the first thing on the designer's mind when they started building it. So you have an awful lot of devices connecting to the internet now, performing hundreds of thousands of different tasks. And often the security that's built into those devices is minimal, or in fact, in some cases, non-existent. So if you're responsible for managing a network for an organization of some description, then the number of these devices that are appearing on your network can be a real headache, and managing them and having some degree of control over them is a challenge for businesses.
Wow, so that sounds like an incredibly far-reaching thing. And N-Cypher's research is particularly looking at threats posed by the Internet of Things to businesses. Why is it such a danger?
Well, the situation is that you've got Internet of Things devices attaching to the network, and if you can't understand what those devices are and what they're doing, then you can't be certain that there's no nefarious business going on or data being harvested or collected, because obviously some devices could perhaps be hacked into by an external source because they might be weak in themselves in security. So as a business, it's really important to understand everything that's attached to your network, what it is, where it's come from, what it's doing, and whether or not it gets asked perhaps to do something different all of a sudden, which it shouldn't be doing. So being able to identify and analyze and assess what's connected to the network is critical for businesses.
Right. So if these safeguards aren't put in place, what sorts of threats or results are we looking at here?
Well, there's a number of different things. I mean, we could see an IoT device being altered, through the application of malware or some other kind of cyber attack. So, in other words, a device being used to do something other than what it was originally built for, which could be to unlock some data or cause trouble on a network. The device could perhaps be remotely controlled by an external unauthorized user. So typically that's what we're looking at. So there will be data passing through all of these Internet of Things devices. They will be attached to a network and potentially be a route into that network for hackers or similar folks up to no good. So that's really the challenge. It's making sure that those devices aren't accessed or used by somebody else from outside the company who's not authorized to be inside the network.
Okay, so you've got these businesses investing in all these sorts of increased connectivities and connections. But am I to understand it then that they aren't also investing in the means to counter any potential cyber threats?
Well, perhaps not as much as they should. So what we're looking at really is obviously we have process called PKI, public key infrastructure, and this is a set of hardware, software, policies, processes and procedures that are required to create and manage, distribute, use, store digital certificates and public keys. So in other words, it enables the use of technologies such as digital signatures and encryption. So most organizations have PKI in their IT strategy somewhere. It enables them to turn on new digital initiatives, get into the cloud, utilize mobile devices more freely, and of course enables usage of IoT. But the growth of IoT is such that it's very difficult for organizations to keep up. And I think this is where the problem is coming in. Mm-hmm. So we see a lot of organizations feeling that perhaps more than half of organizations that we've surveyed believe that their current PKI setup won't support new applications, which usually isn't true. Organizations see significant technical barriers to increasing their PKI usage, including challenges with legacy applications and so forth, or perhaps skills and resources issues. And perhaps critically, almost three quarters of organizations are saying that they don't see any clear ownership of to whose problem this is. So there is an investment issue, but I think it's compounded by the fact that perhaps organizations can't understand exactly where the problem sits and who owns the problem moving forward. So I think we see a lot of organizations who are aware of an issue, mm-hmm. Have that feeling that something must be done, but aren't quite clear on how to apportion budget, how to apportion ownership, how to manage the process. So therefore it's growing as an issue, and I think simply put, you could say organizations not investing enough either time or money into resolving the problem. And I think that's a fairly clear statement.
So is it getting to the point where there should be some more clear guidelines or regulation in place to make sure that businesses invest in protecting themselves to a certain level?
Well, the regulatory question is an interesting one, and we may well come back to that a bit more later on. Mm-hmm. But typically most developed economies now are governed by some form of data protection regulation, such as GDPR, governing the countries or businesses who do business with the European Union. So that's a fairly wide-reaching regulation that puts a duty of care on organizations to take responsibility and ownership and protect data both of their employees and customers. So you could argue that the necessary regulatory issues are in place. Because I think if an organization was to be breached and the source of that breach turned out to be an IoT device that hadn't been properly properly identified or managed, I don't think there would be any kind of mitigation. So I think you'd fall foul of the regulations. So I think regulatory coverage or direction is there. I think it's more to do with the organization struggling to understand exactly what it is that needs to be done. So I think it's up to organizations like ourselves, to provide that guidance and that clarity.
So, I mean, is there an argument that businesses are potentially underestimating how dangerous all of this can be and kind of adopting a waiting until the horse has bolted scenario?
Yes, and I suppose that's you know, that's been a bit of a recurring theme with the world of data security over recent years. You know, we had the big dash to be ready for GDPR, and a lot of organisations didn't really take that seriously until the legislation had been rolled out. And then there were others who felt that it was going to be toothless and it wouldn't be applied. And then all of a sudden, we've seen earlier this year a couple of significant fines handed out, obviously, to Marriott hotels and British Airways. So there's another rush to comply now because people are realizing that the legislation certainly does have teeth and that some significant fines will be applied. But I can't help but sense that we still have an element of that it'll never happen to me culture prevalent in a lot of businesses. And it doesn't matter how many other people, you know, they see it happening to and how many horror stories there are on the front page of the papers and how many peers and competitors get picked up by fines. There are still certain organizations and individuals who just think, no, it's not going to happen to us, which I think is a little short-sighted.
So I know, of course, the research from Encipher does focus more on the business side of things, but I'm sure there'll be people listening now who are now slightly concerned about the fact that they've now got their kind of smart homes installed, the increasing options of controlling their home systems remotely from their own phones. How can we protect ourselves from these dangers on an individual level?
Well, there are certain, there are certain basic things that we should obviously always do, which is to make sure that we've activated whatever available security there is on devices, and that we've changed and set passwords away from any factory default settings. I mean, obviously, the typical example is you know, when you get your mobile phone for the first time and activate your voicemail account, it typically has a 0000 as the factory PIN, and if you don't change that, it's possible to dial into anybody's mobile phone and pick up their voicemails. As obviously we had a lot of news about that a few years ago when various newspaper journalists were employing exactly that tactic. So there's doing the basics, there's enabling security, there's making sure you've set proper passwords, and you're not relying on factory defaults, and that you're using different passwords for different applications and devices, and don't fall into the trap of having one handy password that you just keep using over and over again, because obviously if that's compromised, then that potentially opens the door to lots of other lots of other routes into your personal data. So I think being sensible, deploying passwords, keeping those up to date, using different passwords, and trying as much as possible not to be careless. I mean, we've all seen examples of people talking loudly on mobile phones to their bank and giving away all sorts of personal data at the top of their voice, or leaving laptops on train tables while they go to the buffet car, so anybody can walk up and see what's on the screen. So I think, generally speaking, we need to be mindful of what information we're allowing others to have access to, and take some fairly basic precautions, and that goes a long way to helping with the problem.
Great. And we are, of course, quite used to the idea of security within the financial and government sectors. Do we need to kind of wise up to the fact that we need to be as serious about that now with when it comes to the internet and connectivity and all those sorts of things?
Yes. I mean, one of the things that I've certainly seen over the last few years is the fact that it's very clear now that security is everybody's problem, and security or everybody's challenge. And it's certainly something that crosses over all of the vertical markets and all of the geographies and all of the different industries. If we go back a few years, it was very much we spent most of our time talking to governments and banks about the need for security, and everybody understood that banks have to take precautions because they're managing money. But I had a meeting a couple of years ago with the IT team at a supermarket, and of course the supermarket, like many supermarkets, were running a loyalty scheme, a sort of loyalty scheme where they collect lots of data on you, so they're able to market products that suit you. Mm. And I was questioning their security posture at the time, and they pushed back saying, "Well, look, you know, Peter, we're not a bank." I said, "No, you're not a bank." And the reality is that you actually have an awful lot more personal data about your customers than any bank ever would. You know the children's birthdays. You know there's a vegetarian in the family. All these shoe sizes, all of these different things, because you're harvesting this data so that you can market products. So the reality is that a lot of organized service industries, retailers, carry much more personal data about us than traditional financial and government institutions, and I think that that's become clear now, and we're certainly seeing a growth of interest in developing a security position in lots of vertical markets. The medical sector is one that's been particularly challenged at the moment, and that brings us back to that IoT conversation that we started with. I mentioned earlier on the concept of robot arms performing microsurgery, and of course in order to do that the robot needs to know who you are and your medical history and what the treatment is that you're having, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of those devices that are monitoring vital signs attached to beds, performing roles in the operating theater. So in any hospital environment at the moment, there are literally thousands of IoT devices that are connected and passing through, having patient data passing through them on a sort of hourly basis. So security is definitely now out there as everybody's challenge, and it's moved right across the vertical market. So I think that change has happened, but continues to happen as we see more and more organisations realising the scale of the issue and the responsibility that they need to take.
So there seems to be a kind of recurring theme throughout our conversation of a lack of understanding within different businesses of how important it is for them to safeguard themselves. We're not a bank, that sort of comment there. So what do they need to do to take steps to understand and then implement ways of safeguarding themselves better?
Well, there are a lot of things to do. Ultimately, it's about having trust. It's about having trust in your network, and understanding what's connected, what it's doing, looking for changes in behaviour. Encrypting data is a very strong practice, and is recommended by many of the regulatory organisations sitting behind the likes of GDPR. And of course, if you're going to encrypt, then you need to have keys, because the only way you can unlock your encrypted data and view it is by having keys. So you need to manage and store those keys effectively as well. So there are there are a number of practices to do with understanding what's on your network, protecting the data through encryption, and managing the keys that allow you access to that data.
So what can NCIPHER Security specifically offer for businesses in this question?
Well, we're able to provide a significant support around this whole PKI process, and as I say, that's managing the hardware, the software, the policies, the processes, and the procedures behind managing, distributing, creating, revoking all of those digital certificates and keys. So we can do that, and of course that enables then simple use of things such as encryption and digital signatures. So we're able to provide a service around that PKI offering.
So if we can all take one thing away from our chat today, businesses and individual people alike, what would you want that one thing to be?
I think it's just really important to understand that every time you connect a device to your network, whether that's a home network or a business network, you need to be very clear that you understand what it is and what access rights it has to your network and what it's doing and how to monitor what it's doing for you. And I think sometimes we all get seduced by the application or the service that the device is going to give us, and security becomes an afterthought. So we plug something in and all of a sudden it's on our network and it's turning our lights on and off, or it's allowing us to check up on on the dogs while we're out at work or whatever it is, and we don't really give a second thought to you know, where it was made, how it works, and the fact that it's giving a gateway into our perhaps other areas of our lives that we'd rather it didn't. So I think it's just that you know, remember that every time you connect something to your network, there is potentially a risk attached to that, and just be mindful of that and understand what you're doing and what that risk is.
Peter Carlisle, it's been great to talk to you today. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me.
That's my pleasure. Thank you. Thank you once again for the invitation.
And that's the latest for this episode of The Share Interview. Until next time.